This morning, I believe we build on a very solid foundation of encouraging, comforting, expository ministry. This was something along the line that I had been meditating upon, but I believe that the ground has been well covered, that we have a very good foundation upon which to build a practical Christian experience. So I feel constrained to shift gears, shall we say, and think of something that might just stir us up a bit this afternoon to realize in a practical way that underneath are the everlasting arms, that we do have a God who looks after us. And even in all these trials and tribulations and difficulties, therefore the purpose of rubbing off some of the rough spots so that someone about on the outside can see that we belong to the Lord. With that in mind, let's turn to the book of Joshua chapter 1. You know, I don't know how it is with your heart, but with me, there's coldness. The world in which we live doesn't make it very warm, I'm sure of that. And someone has said there's one way to keep water from freezing, and that is to agitate it, stir it, and the harder you stir it, the colder it gets, the more difficult it becomes to keep it from freezing, so you have to agitate more and more. And so may we just take the message this afternoon that I have to give you be a bit of an agitation to our heart. Shall we read it? Verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, so as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness at this, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. May the Lord bless to us the reading this portion of his word this afternoon. There are some of the inner actions, inner thoughts of the in the lives of each of us that I'm sure are never spoken. And yet they have profound effect on the way in which God deals with us in our Christian experience. And I'm sure each of you can look back and say and see times in your experience when a God has spoken to you, things that we would never speak of publicly. This afternoon I feel constrained to speak one of these in my own experience as a background why I have read this portion to you. There are two men who have had an effect on my life. One younger than myself, and one older. One by dedication, the other by inspiration. Back in 1956, when our brother Ed McCulley gave his life, the Lord spoke loudly to me. Then just recently, when our brother Theo went, the Lord spoke again. The second words that came to my mind was the words that I've read in this portion. The first words were, as I thought of him, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Then the Lord spoke to me from this verse. Verse 2. Arise and go. What does the first word say ahead of it? Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise and go over this Jordan. And if we know anything about the action, the activity of the Holy Spirit within, such thoughts as this are not easy to get rid of. And so I would like to, as I've thought of this before, it came back to me again. We've dug into this a little bit over the years at different times, and I went back into it again. I would like to share that with you again this afternoon, where God spoke to me of this man Joshua. Now this is the beginning of the book of Joshua, a long history of a man, leader of which was Moses, a country, a people that was led by Moses is gone. And now we have a new deal. We now have a new beginning, as the book of Joshua is that book of possession. And so my mind began to go back. And this is what I would like to do with you this afternoon, is just page through the scriptures to see about Joshua and how he came to this place. Because I would like to say this for the benefit of you young people. We all have the opinion, and as you've heard it, I'm sure, in your business, as I had in mine, that we hear about the boss's son that came in as the office boy, and immediately, or very shortly thereafter, he's the president. Each of us seem to have the idea that we would like to start out at the top. This is what I'd like to go through with you this afternoon, to find out that Joshua didn't start at the top. So when Joshua was called of God to go forward with the word, with this people, he was ready. Now let's turn back to Exodus chapter 17. I heard it said not too long ago, when one had departed this life, and this was a missionary lady that said this, she said, another prayer partner is gone. Who's going to step in? Who's going to replace this prayer partner on our list? Who's going to take over? And this is something I'd like to have you keep in mind as we look at this portion now. I suppose I could say, like Alf Gibbs said to the students at Emmaus this last fall, it just so happened when I looked into this that by chance it came out there were 7 points. The kid got quite amused at that because he was going to give them a talk on prayer. And then when he got ready to go, they all had their pencils because they had all been primed that Mr. Gibbs speaks always on 7 points. And so he didn't disappoint them. He just merely said it just so happened that it happened to have 7 points. The first one is, the first mention in scripture of an individual is rather interesting, or of a subject, whatever it might be. And this is the first mention of this man, Joshua. Keep in mind all the time that Joshua is an understudy. That Joshua is one who is learning. Now the first time Joshua comes into being is in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, where the people needed to drink, they'd rebel, and yet God said to them, smite the rock, and out from the rock came the water. And they drank. And immediately thereafter, the scripture says in verse 8, then came Amalek to fight against them. What did Moses do? Did he panic? No. He turned to one of the young men. And we're going to see later on in these portions, that there were more than one man. There were more than just Joshua following along in this. He turned and he said to Joshua, choose out men. And so the first point I want to say in connection with Joshua is just simply this, that Joshua was a warrior. He had to begin to learn something of the conflict. And beloved, you and I are in the conflict. You and I are in the battle. This is what Paul said to Timothy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is what stirred me about the fact of the apostle in the book and writing to the Romans, where he said, I am ready. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. I am ready to be bound, he said later on. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're in a conflict. What did Joshua find out in this? The first thing he found out that there was a complaining people. His own people. And yet as a result of this, God began to speak and to work through individuals. And when Moses said, Joshua, you do this, he began by learning that which is necessary in all commands, whether it be in the army or whether it be in an assembly of God's people. When there is need and a suggestion is made, we need first of all to know something about obedience. Think of our blessed Lord, who was the one who came, and it says he came not to be ministered unto or to serve, but to be served, but to serve. This should be the need that you and I should seek to fill in the assembly. And again, I would say, as I would think of some of those who are coming up in our assembly, who's going to fill the ranks? Who's going to be ready to say, to be able to fill in and say, when God says, arise, one's gone? Thought comes to me as I think of this, when God says, Moses, my servant is dead, we could just add to that very quickly, God isn't, and neither is his work, and his work must go on. It's going to take maybe many men to fill the lines. The work that's carried on by one individual, particularly the case of our brother McCulloch. But God's work must go on. Am I going to be ready to step into that work? Then there was that not only obedience, but he had seen God work a miracle, and so he was ready to go. So he went out and he chose men. That which you, if you young people, again I say, if there's something in your heart that causes you to want to use up your energy, place it at God's disposal. And say, as that servant that went down, as Abraham sent him down to get a bride for his son, he said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And someone I heard, John, I think it was old John Reed, said years ago about the psalmist who could say the Lord was before his eyes. And he said very bluntly, the Lord will never be before your eyes if you don't set him there. And neither will my life be in the place. But the Lord wants me to be until I put it in that place. And Joshua was one who was a warrior for God. And what happened? They fought. And they had a bit of a taste of victory. And he also saw something about intercession. He learned about prayer as he held up hands when they were up and down in their battle. And then he also learned too very, very definitely that Amalek was one who was a typical of the flesh. Joshua expresses this a little bit later on, but he also learned to know something about reserve, to be waiting on the proper time. And so if we, you and I, are looking for a challenge, God's work is a conflict, and it's something that requires something for you and I to get into. So let's be warriors for the Lord Jesus. Let's be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now over to chapter 24, where it is mentioned the second time. And here we not only see Joshua as a warrior, we could spend much time involved in this. You can see each of these could be something that we could develop quite sizably, but I say that Joshua learned some discernment when he chose out men. He learned that he had a taste of victory. He saw that God was in it, in his intercession, and he also saw that it couldn't be done by the energy of the flesh. And then in verse 13 of chapter 24, it says, and Moses rose up in his minister Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here until we come again to you. Now look, keep on going over to chapter 32. In chapter 32, we have in between all this, we have God giving to Moses the pattern and the instructions concerning the tabernacle. And if you read the context closely, it seems to suggest itself to me that Joshua was not necessarily, as it were, on the very inside, but he was up in the mountain with him while the rest had stayed. And so God revealed this directly to Moses. But as he was there, he saw some of the holiness of God. He learned some of the instructions of worship. And then when they were coming down in verse 17 of chapter 32, Joshua says, here again is the second time that Joshua is mentioned, as he's speaking, at least the first time he's mentioned speaking. And it says, he heard the noise in the camp. He was alert to something. There was something different. He'd already learned a few little things along the way. Something was different in the camp. And as they came down, obviously Moses began to prick up his ear, and it wasn't long till, you know what happened, Moses had to go in, the plague came in, and here was Joshua, as one who was a companion of Moses, but standing back and watching what was going on. So the first thing I believe he learned in connection with this was subjection. While all these instructions were being given, Joshua was listening, he was learning, and he was learning God's ways and God's methods, and he found out that the place of worship was a place for God, for a place of worship was the tabernacle and how it was to be worshipped. But he also learned something of God's holiness. And I wonder if I could just put this into everyday language today. You elders, have you got an understudy? Have you got understudies in your assembly? You young people, have you got one that you're looking up to, you're following along, you're listening? You're seeing God's ways and his plans and his patterns. This is what I take from this. Oh, this is profound teaching, I'm sure, in the life of Joshua, but very little said about it. But he learned one thing as he was in the mount, that there was something different. He learned discernment in choosing men. He learned discernment, and he got some maturity, shall we say, as he was in the mount. And as he began to think on these things, he could see there was a noise in the camp that didn't ring through. And these are days when we've been hearing in this conference already some of the things that are not necessarily ringing true to Scripture. You and I need to be close to those that are above us, that we might learn, that we might learn firsthand. You who are above need to be seeking to take them in hand. I remember when at our missionary conference in Chicago just a month ago, that one of the men from Australia made the statement that he remembered as a young man. One elderly brother there took out four or five of these young men every Sunday afternoon out into the woods for a walk, and they got under a tree and they sat down and they considered the things of God, and every one of them are now giving their time, full-time service for the Lord Jesus. And so this is a two-way thing. He was an attendant. He was looking for some companionship. Where is your companion? I see my time is going, so we're going to go through these quickly. I'd like to spend a little more time on the latter part. Look at chapter 33, while we're there. This is one where we find Joshua more than ever as a learner. And in verse 11, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. We read the verses before this, we'd find that Moses, as he was there in his tent door, and as he was in the tabernacle door, the people in their tent doors, they were there, Moses interceding for them. And this seemed to be a time of real delight, as God had now appeased himself, as it were, through the slaying, and the sin had been judged, and now Moses was the intercessor. And then the scripture says that he went back again, and Moses left the tabernacle, but Joshua remained in the place of learning. This is what the tabernacle suggested, where God meets with his people. God meets with his people today through the word, through fellowshipping together, through the teaching. And any of us who seek to absence ourselves from the assembly gathering, from the opportunities of reading the word, we miss the opportunity. What did the Lord say in Matthew 11, 28, after he'd invited them to come? In verse 29, he says, "For I take upon you my yoke, for my yoke is easy. And learn of me, for my yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Learn of me." This is what the Lord Jesus wants of us, and this is what I believe he was getting. So I believe this is suggested of communion. You remember that Jacob of old, he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Jabez of old prayed, "Bless me." This is what we need to get. That which is solid as far as salvation is concerned is a solid chain that can never be broken. But what about, beloved, what about that thread of communion that you and I have with our Lord? And let's don't blame this. Let's don't just relegate this to the young people. They need to learn how to do it. Because let me ask you, brother or sister, how long has it been since you've been alone with God? I don't mean just saying prayer. When is it you've called upon God to commune with himself and say, "Lord, I'm not getting through. I want you to speak to me." I think years and years ago, our dear brother, H.P. Barker could say that most of us go in to the store, and God, it's like going to the store as we go to prayer, and we go in and steal off the list that we have. He says, "This is the way I go to the store." But when my wife goes, she doesn't go like this. She has a list, all right. But the same time she's going around, she's thinking, she's looking at the list, and she'll stand around and visit. And every now and again, a little thought comes, and now and again, she comes home with that far more than what I would get because I merely got the list. He asks the question, are you getting just your list from God? The learner. This is the place that you and I need to get into position on. Just this week I wrote a letter to a man congratulating him on getting the 12 and the 24 unit certificate for the correspondence work. And this is a lot of study. 24 units is approximately 12 lessons. So here's figured out, 12 lessons to a unit. So he'd studied a long time. We had a contact with that man in 1958 when he was in prison. And he took the three courses which we offered. We lost them. 1964, a year ago now, he began to study again. And he took over these courses that he had taken while he was in prison. He took four in 1964. This represented four units. And since January 1, 1965, this man did 30 units of study. Learning. What's the where does our time go? Where is our time go? If we're going to be prepared and ready when God says go over, we're not going to go over by the things which are about. We're going to have to come from the place which we've gotten from here, the place of learning. Joshua, or over to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, we see Joshua again. Joshua had been learning, and everything that happened in Joshua's life seems to be very much up to date and very typical of what happens today. So Moses was getting, the people were getting too large for Moses. And God says to Moses, I want you to choose out 70 men. So they set them apart, and he says, I'll put some of your spirit on them, and they'll be able to minister and help and carry on in this work. And so this was done. Then all of a sudden, amongst these young men, and incidentally in verse 28, it's where you get this portion, in verse 28 it says, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, began to speak. What happened? If we'd read verse 27, 26, we'd find that here was two men. They were off in the camp. They hadn't gathered with the others. And all of a sudden in the camp, after the Spirit of God had been moved to them, all of a sudden these men began to prophesy. And so what happened to Joshua? Now was his time to speak. They prophesied, and they came to Moses. He came to Moses, and he was the spokesman, and he said, forbid them. Moses, in his quiet, kind, saintly way, could say, look at verse 29, would God all the people, the Lord's people, were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. What a gentle rebuke. You see, Joshua had to learn that God does not work things in a stereotyped way. That he doesn't put things on a track and they run that way as we think that track should be. And he began to be critical. But someone has said the best man, the champion only comes from one who gets up off his back. And I believe this is what we see in Joshua here. He took this gentle tap, or as we would say, a little gentle tap on the wrist. He took this slight correction and he took it properly. I wonder if this is what would happen to me if somebody corrected me. Or would I say, well, let him tell that fellow, leave me alone. I want to do it. I'm old enough now. I can take care of myself. And so forth. Is this the response I would give? If I'm going to be ready when God wants to use me, I will be this ready to listen. And I'll listen intently. And I'll listen emphatically and well. And so he found out that it wasn't easy to talk. It was easy to talk, but it wasn't maybe the right time. God's time hadn't been yet. To be like Moses, you remember, when he was ready to go, he thought it was the time, and he took his arm, and he thought, this is it. But he had to wait 40 years after that, because it wasn't God's time. But in the meantime, let's learn. Let's get up, as it were, from these things that are going to call us to task. And let's see if we can be ready, and ready to go. And so in this case here, we had Joshua the judge, but well, all it was criticism. I'm sure you can see that there could be a real application in many, many ways along with this, but I do want to go along to give you the whole of this so that you'll spend a little time yourself seeking to study this out to see how that Joshua was prepared of the Lord. Now, in verse chapter 14 of Numbers. Chapter 14 of Numbers, we find that Joshua had learned a few things. He learned his lesson well. You remember that the people had gone up to search out the land. And I would have kind of, as I was meditating upon this, I kind of wondered if this was maybe all these same young men. But in the midst of these young men, there were two, one by the name of Caleb and the other by the name of Joshua. And they went along. And all they could see was the things that were there, and God had put them there. And all the others could see that the things that were there, that God hadn't put them there, they'd gotten there by their own selves, and this was the grasshoppers and the giants and so forth. But Caleb and Joshua, they saw the fruit. They saw the land flowing with milk and honey. And here they came back. But what does it say? And if you look in verse 7, or verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes, and they spake. Joshua wasn't speaking by himself now. Joshua learned a little teamwork. But he was confident. You know, someone has said that a championship team generally has a pretty confident water boy. And I think this is probably right. Their confidence has to begin at the bottom. And Joshua had found out that he spoke once. He's going to be a little bit careful this time. And so they spoke, but they were confident. They had learned their lesson, but maybe even though they made a mistake, they were going to come back. So they came back and they began to try to sell the people. They tried to persuade them. But there was nothing to be persuaded except this. And Joshua and Caleb, of course, were those who knew the answer, and they were the ones that took and got involved in the the real blessing. And so they learned, found out that there was need for humility. They rent their clothes. There were some values. They said, it's a good land. And they said, God is able and faithful in verse 8. And they found out that God could help them in verse 9. He says, only rebel not against the Lord. I wonder, are we learning this lesson of knowing something about the confidence that we can have in God? We heard about that this morning. Confidence in God. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Turn now to Numbers chapter 27. It's a pretty quick run through this, but I trust that I can stir up a little bit of interest in the searching into it to see if there's a place in this day for a following of the scripture as given to Joshua in his day. And verse 18 says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in thy sight, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Now someone has said that dedication is my part. Consecration is God's part. But there cannot be consecration on God's part until I have dedicated myself unto him. And I look in Joshua's experience, I believe, way back at the very beginning, when he was in the place where Moses could choose him out. At this point, Joshua had set himself apart for God. But when we come to this portion, I believe this is consecration. Here we have Joshua the appointee. God knew Moses' time was coming to an end. And so he says, now Moses, you've had all these other helpers, I'm going to give you one. And he said, this man is one in whom the Spirit of the Lord is. This is one that I'm going to put thy Spirit upon him. And he says, he's a man in whom the Spirit is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and so forth. And then you'll notice in verse 20, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, and verse 21, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, and shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim, and so forth. Both he and all the children of Israel, with whom even all the congregation. He was one who was appointed of God. And when God's purpose, all the purposes of God are yea and amen in Christ, and they'll never be before it, even though you and I may try to mix them up, even though you and I may try to hurry them, as the scripture has many examples of this, that so those that couldn't wait upon God. And if you think that you're involved in the things and they're putting you to the back place in the assembly, you haven't got anything to do and so on and so forth, God's time is his time and his alone. It's your opportunity, your privilege and responsibility and mine to see to it, put our place so he can move it when the time comes and not before. Notice in verse 20 that he was prepared to receive some authority. I wonder if somebody in the assembly would tap you on the shoulder like you think you should have a responsibility and say, I'd like you to do this. Would you run and hide? Or would you say, well, oh, I can't do that. Moses said that, you remember? And Moses had a lot of the joy of his job divided with somebody else because he wasn't ready to do it. You know, there's a possibility of us hiding behind some false humility in some of these things. Not so with Joshua. He was ready to take this authority. And he was ready to, he found his counsel in God because verse 21 suggested he was ready to believe God. Am I ready? Am I ready to receive him? Am I ready to take over these responsibilities? Look then over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. There's a lot transpired in between here. Not too much said about Joshua, but this, some of this is repetitive, history recounted. We've already had referred even last night to Deuteronomy and so forth. But then, in verse 14 of chapter 31, verse 3, first of all, he's mentioned, and he said, Moses had been told of the Lord that Joshua shall go over before thee. This is the latter part of verse 3, as the Lord hath said. Then Moses tells him in verse 7, be strong and of a good courage. And then he says to him in verse 14, call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him charge. And Moses and Joshua went in and presented themselves and so forth. Look at in the same chapter over to verse 23, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. This is where he was ready to take over. He was now being given the mantle of Moses to take over. And he was now to be the commander. He was now to be the leader. And he was receiving these commendations, and he had them coming. This leads us then up to the end of this book. Now look at verse 30, chapter 34, and verse verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. He was here, he was a leader. There was only one problem. Moses was still alive. Then we come to Joshua chapter 1. God speaks to Joshua from that point on. Moses, my servant, is dead. Let me ask you a question. How long, how many years transpired from the time when Moses, when Joshua went to fight against Amalek and when we came, come to the last part of Deuteronomy? How long? 40 years. 40 years was Joshua in the making. But praise God, when the time came, he said, and he had to be shaken out. And he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. He says, arise and go over. Now my question to you is this as I finish. Who's going to have to die? Who's going to have to pass into eternity to get you shook loose? And if you are, if there is someone that passes into eternity in your assembly, are you ready? Are you ready? Arise and go over this Jordan. What does he say? Everything is there. You young people want challenge? He says, as far as you can walk, every time you can put your foot, that's yours. Even to the going down of the sun. You want somebody to challenge you? God's business is large. It's endless. It's impossible with the 3.2 billions of people in this world. I'm working my head off with courses coming through our office and throughout the world. The total of a whole bunch is only about 360,000 a year. Sounds big, doesn't it? But you put that alongside of 3.2 billion and tell me what the percentage is. The work is large. Yet God says thou shalt have great success. Nobody will be able to stand before it. You want some real practical way of leaning on the everlasting arms? Take up the conflict and go forth for God in this day, because Jesus is coming again.